Volunteer-powered,
listener-supported,
community radio from South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community.
And supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM. Reporting live for WFHB, this is Maria McKinley.
And I'm Doug Storm. This is the Daily Local News for Monday, January 23rd, 2017. Native American activists from Standing Rock play an Ojibwe welcome for participants in Bloomington's Inaugurate the Revolution protest and workshops in today's WFHB feature exclusive.
Also coming up in the next half hour, this is going to be on Activate, our weekly segment spotlighting people working for positive change in our community. But first, these local headlines.
A weekend of anti-Trump activities kicked off in Bloomington Friday with workshops, marches, and a standing-room-only rally at the Buskirk-Chumley Theater. An effort called Inaugurate the Revolution led workshops throughout the day, covering subjects ranging from media literacy to public education to the Dakota Access Pipeline protests. We'll have more on the Standing Rock workshop later in the show. At 5 p.m., when the workshops were finished, hundreds of people gathered on the courthouse lawn in preparation for what would be one of the largest protest marches the city has seen in years. Standing on the edge of the crowd, Bloomington resident Michael Ginda said his concerns with the country's newly elected representatives were many.
My partner receives Medicaid for some medical issues, and we're worried that he might lose that under the Republican-controlled Congress. I really have a strong moral reaction against the way he vocalizes against Muslim Americans and Muslim immigrants. I think that he creates xenophobia and amongst our population, and he's separating us out to be against each other, and we need a community, and we need more empathy.
A few minutes later, as the crowd continued to gather, Joe Varga spoke to the crowd through a bullhorn. Varga is one of the organizers of Inaugurate the Revolution.
And they told us there's nothing you can do because the election is over and it's done with. And you got to just follow the laws. But we're not going to do that because somewhere I read about freedom of speech. And somewhere I read about freedom of assembly. And somewhere I read about freedom of the press. This is MLK, by the way. And somewhere I read that what makes America great is the right to protest. So we are going to take it through the streets.
Several hundred people spilled into the College Avenue for an unpermitted march. Participants held signs with messages such as, "Make racists afraid again," and "Women deserve better." The group moved from the courthouse square north to 7th Street, where it turned west. Like many of the anti-Trump actions around the country this past weekend, the marchers' chants focused on racism and fascism. The group blocked traffic along its 7-block route, but there were few conflicts with drivers. In one case, at 7th and College Streets, a man driving a truck attempted to drive through the crowd, but marchers stopped him, warning he was endangering young marchers.
The march lasted a little more than 10 minutes. It ended in front of the Buskirk-Chumley Theater, where Inaugurate the Revolution had planned a rally. As marchers crowded together in the street in front of the theater, Bayou Chavez explained her motivation for protesting.
I feel like I'm a voice for my family and for other Latinos who have been afraid to speak up for themselves, and especially being the number one target of a Trump presidency. I think as a Latina who has a voice and has the opportunity to be here and resist the system and the government, I think that it's kind of my duty to be here and to educate, agitate, and organize. I'm opposed to definitely building of the wall, repealment of the DACA, which is something that's affecting a lot of my friends and a lot of my family members. And I'm also very, I think that everyone has a right to health care, so I'm also against repealing the Affordable Care Act without a proper substitution.
A few feet away from Bea Chavez, a member of the student organization Reinvest IU, Kristen Billings stood near the door to the theater. Reinvest IU has been pressuring IU to divest from fossil fuel interests. Billings responded to a question about why she attended the march.
Having agency over my own body, that's a huge motivation. And then also trying to acknowledge that climate change is a legitimate issue that exacerbates basically all other existing social issues, and trying to create a community where we can persevere together and fight against the administration. And I think that, you know, creating these links amongst the community is also really important, because local action is going to be one of the biggest ways we can combat the national agenda. Thinking about how we can promote policies at the local level to ensure protections for all of the groups that are threatened by a Trump administration. I'm personally really invested in climate change just because I think that is a problem that affects all other existing social issues. So I think promoting some kind of climate change action plan for Bloomington and then also for the IU campus is going to be really important. So
organizers cleared the street of marchers a short time later, and much of the group walked into the theater. By 6 o'clock, a standing room only crowd filled the theater, where local residents, including attorney William Morris and IU professor Amrita Myers, spoke to the crowd.
Another group of anti-Trump protesters took to the streets of Bloomington later on Friday night. Flyers advertising the event described it as a rowdy demonstration against the new Trump regime. About 50 people left from People's Park at about 9 p.m., chanting and handing out flyers with a local message. Quote, "Bloomington is not an exception to the brutality of life under capitalism. The city of Bloomington and their armed forces continue to prioritize the interest of business owners, banks, and real estate over everyone else. More space is granted to developers for yuppie condos. Technocrats are subsidized to set up shop in the new tech park. And the city government continually tries to chase homeless people out of town," unquote. The march moved west down Kirkwood Avenue and then north on College. Many of the chants were about police. The march drew a mixed reaction from onlookers, with some voicing support and others shouting at the marchers. In one instance, the driver of a car became involved in a conflict with one of the marchers, most of whom wore masks. The driver honked and shouted profanities, and a protester later struck the back of the car. The driver stopped in the street and got out to engage the group, but no fight occurred. The march turned west on 8th Street and then south on Walnut. A few participants pushed a dumpster into the road, and some tossed paint-filled balloons at the county jail, which drew jeers from a man on the sidewalk. The march moved east down Kirkwood past the old National Bank, where a protester tossed a brick through a window. Some also drug trash cans into the street. Although no uniformed police were visible during the protest, the Bloomington Police Department did reportedly arrest a 23-year-old Bloomington man, Trevor Moore, for vandalizing the bank. A police report cited by the Herald Times stated police witnessed much of the march. Police Chief Michael Dekoff did not respond to a call for comment today, seeking information about the police monitoring of the event. The crowd dispersed just past the IU sample gates.
Anti-Trump events continued around the world on Saturday, including a major women's rally in Indianapolis, attended by many local residents. The event was held in solidarity with the Women's March in Washington, D.C. Thousands of people crowded onto the lawn around the Indiana State House for this event. Before it began, Indianapolis resident Margaret Heckley said she was concerned about Trump and surprised at the turnout.
Oh, the attack on Planned Parenthood, Medicare, Social Security, the Affordable Care Act, a biggie, and just the fact that I think he is evil. I think he's without a soul, and I think he is in the office to serve himself, not to serve the country. His conflicts of interest terrify me. So basically, I'm just here. I couldn't believe there were more than three people in Indiana that agreed with me. I've always felt so alone.
A slate of speakers addressed the crowd, which was so large that not everyone could stand within listening range. One of the speakers, State Representative Dana Black, discussed the power of women's movements.
So ladies, I want to talk to you for just a second. You remember how we teach our young men that they are not supposed to put their hands on women. We teach them you do not harm our women. But if you recall, during the suffrage movement, when women wanted to cast their vote in a democracy that they lived under, they didn't have a problem beating those women in the streets. But guess what? They had power. The suffrage movement had power, and the 19th Amendment was passed, and women were able to cast their vote.
Indiana State Police later estimated the crowd around 45 to 5,000 people. Those were the people that attended the rally in Indianapolis. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Maria McKinley.
And I'm Doug Storm. During Friday's Inaugurate the Revolution event in downtown Bloomington, residents packed into the Monroe County Public Library to hear from Native American activists about the ongoing pipeline battle over Standing Rock. As WFHB's Wes Martin reports, activists from the American Indian Movement and Standing Rock Reservation updated residents about the pipeline project and cautioned them over joining protests in this WFHB feature exclusive.
The over 1,100-mile Dakota Access Pipeline begins in North Dakota's Bakken oil field and is planned to stretch across the West to storage tanks in southern Illinois. The nearly $4 billion underground pipeline project, which began in June of 2014, was supposed to be finished by January of this year, but opposition to the project mounted when the pipeline was rerouted over the Missouri and Mississippi River watersheds and through Native American reservations, including Standing Rock Reservation, on the border of North and South Dakota. On Friday, January 20th, some 50 people crowded into the Monroe County Public Library's auditorium to participate in a workshop called Solidarity with Standing Rock. Native American activist Laura Reagan told the assembly that the pipeline project has led to collective action by Native American communities across the country, due in part to its overtones of racial injustice.
If you're not aware of the situation that's currently happening in Standing Rock, they are trying to put a crude oil pipeline in the ground through treaty land that's from the Treaty of Fort Laramie. So as per the treaty, this land belongs to the Standing Rock Nation. However, the government took that land at some point in the past and are trying to build a crude oil pipeline that's going to, if succeeded in building, it's going to cross the Missouri River. If it does, it has the potential to poison the water supply for millions of people. This pipeline was originally planned to go through Bismarck when the mostly white people of Bismarck decided that they didn't want the potential to poison their water, and so the pipeline was rerouted to go by the reservation.
Central to the opposition's argument against the construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline are fears of a potential spill, which could cause environmental damage, including the possible contamination of water sources vital to the Standing Rock community. Kevin Iskor Locke is a Lakota resident of the southernmost community in the Standing Rock Reservation. He told Friday's gathering that his daughter, Bobby Jean Three Legs, was instrumental to organizing the resistance on the Standing Rock Reservation to the pipeline project based on a shared belief in environmental stewardship and communal identity. Since then, the protest presence in opposition to the Dakota Access Pipeline has increased, as have the concerns of protesters.
Her name is Bobby Jean Three Legs. If you make a note of it, you can YouTube her and everything. But she was the one that went around my community, Wakfala, and she organized the youth there because this pipeline was coming through, but you know, people were just not aware of it. And she created some actions which in turn created awareness of what was going on. And I think she was primarily motivated by this understanding, her understanding what she had received from her grandmother about this role that we as Lakota people have in regard to protecting our treasure, our birthright, our inheritance, which is the underpinnings of life. And foundational to that is the water. We say, Miniki Wichoni, means water is life. Water is life. So she was the one that began a series of actions which brought attention, and it began to snowball, so much so that I think when you all were there in August, right? In August, there was it had become really a flashpoint or a lightning rod for so many issues and so many points which unified people all over the world, such as you know this indigenous rights, such as the over-dependence on fossil fuel, the critical need to reverse the effects of global warming, the role of indigenous people as stewards of this land, really the role of all of us to safeguard and observe our sacred relationship, the role that we have with our ancestors and the role that we have with future generations. All of these and many, many more issues came to the fore with that.
Panelists said that clashes with police, often dressed in riot gear and armed with water cannons, crowd control dogs, and stun grenades, have escalated around August last year. So far, hundreds of people have been injured and over 100 have been arrested during the protests. Laura Reagan's sister, Kelly Tudor, is a representative with the American Indian Movement's Indiana and Kentucky chapter and was a panelist at the Inaugurate the Revolution workshop. Kelly Tudor recently visited Standing Rock and spoke with the WFHB along with her sister following the panel.
Things started escalating in toward the end of August, actually, right after I left. I think literally like within days of leaving, things kind of exploded. I forget what it was that happened within days of me leaving. It might have been the dog attacks.
The dog's attack, yeah. Was like right after she left.
Right after I left. So there was a lot that started escalating toward the end of August. Things continued to escalate through September. October was kind of okay. Things were a little crazy up front, but like camp was, you know, just kind of still great and, you know, preparing for winter, that kind of thing. And then I think by November, things just also, November and December just really blew up with the spraying in the, you know, negative temperatures. And there was over 300 injuries in one night. So that was all November. And then the veterans went out, and that was kind of a cluster. I think that whole veteran, it was like 5,000-6,000 veterans that showed up, and really kind of, it was a good, I don't want to knock what they did, because it was a very well-intentioned, well-thought-out idea, but it wasn't implemented well, and things just kind of got really chaotic. And then since then,
chaotic how? Between the police and
just at camp with so many people and people getting stranded and during blizzards on the highway, and there was like lines of cars for hours and people couldn't even get in. There wasn't enough resources. It just wasn't well implemented. And then that happened, and then everybody kind of ignored continuing what's going on. But like every night this week, there's been clashes on the Backwater Bridge.
Several audience members asked the panelists how Bloomington area residents could get involved or contribute to the ongoing demonstrations at Standing Rock. Laura Reagan cautioned people from joining in the protests at Standing Rock without being able to provide for themselves. She also said that there are other ways to get involved, particularly with consideration to the election of President Donald Trump.
If you want to go and you want to support people and, you know, fight these pipelines and be a water protector, that's fantastic, but make sure you research what the weather is going to be like, what kind of supplies you're going to need to keep yourself warm and to sleep in and all of that. That's a really important thing. Also, you know, I don't have good feelings about our current, you know, inauguree and his view on Native peoples, because Donald Trump has a very long history going back into the 80s of a dislike of Native American people. So other than just these pipelines that need to be fought against, there are a lot of other things that we're gonna have to, in the coming days, be fighting against. And, you know, the way I look at it is my ancestors, they survived the Spanish, they survived the Mexican government, they survived the U.S. Cavalry, they survived, you know, horrible presidents who hated Native people, and we're gonna survive this one too. We're gonna keep fighting with this one too.
For WFHB, I'm Wes Martin.
The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers announced in December that it would temporarily halt the construction of the pipeline to allow for an environmental impact review. Alternate routes for the pipeline are continuing to be explored.
Support for WFHB and the Daily Local News comes from Smithville Fiber, a local provider of internet, voice, and TV service, now also offering home automation and security systems for homes and offices throughout South Central Indiana. More information on Smithville's home automation service is available at smithvillesecurity.com.
Support also comes from Growing Opportunities, a social business project of the South Central Community Action Program. Growing Opportunities is an urban hydroponic farm that provides job training opportunities for low-income people with barriers to employment, especially people with disabilities. They grow produce that is sold to local eateries, supermarkets, hospitals, and schools. Information available at 812-332-2168 or online at inscap.org.
Now it's time for Activate, our weekly segment spotlighting people working for positive change in our community.
Welcome to Activate, featuring tales of inspiration from local citizens who stand up for what they believe in and encouraging you to find your cause, live your passion, make a difference, volunteer.
Hello, I'm Laura Collins, one of the conveners of the Monroe County Now chapter. That's the national organization for women.
I'm Elizabeth Winchester. I'm another convener of the Monroe County chapter of Now. The purpose of the National Organization for Women is to take action through intersectional grassroots activism to promote feminist ideals, lead societal change, eliminate discrimination, and achieve and protect the equal rights of all women and girls in all aspects of social, political, and economic life. I do think it's important to make it clear to any prospective members or volunteers that we don't choose a party. We don't make those lines. We don't make those choices. These are issues. Women's rights are human rights, and that's something that people have been talking about a lot lately. But that's not necessarily a party issue. It's just a human rights issue.
Right. So really, regardless of your political affiliation, if these are values that you share, you have a place within Now.
Yeah, and I would also like to point out that even if you have different, perhaps you don't agree with every issue within Now, I think that there's still room for you. Even if you have maybe a religious reason for not wanting to support one of the issues, that doesn't mean that you can't help support some of the other issues that affect women overall.
Yeah. And what do you envision? You mentioned you're going to have a call-out meeting, and I can hear from you already that some of where you're at is listening to the community and finding out what's needed there. But at this point, what do you anticipate in terms of the needs for people to get involved? What sorts of roles as volunteers are available if people are interested in getting more involved?
Mm-hmm. Well, the kind of committees that we want to form with Now Monroe County will be like communications committees to help us build a website, help us get even more on the social media realm, and help with fundraising, help with just getting the word out, and help with forming actions too, opinions about, again, what people want to focus on, both locally and as a state of Indiana as a whole, and nationally as well.
And we would also like to partner with any organizations out there who maybe align with our mission. So if you're part of a group of some sort that matches with one of our core issues, please reach out, because we would really like to get involved so that we can all help each other move forward.
People can find us online on Facebook. Just search in your search bar for Monroe County Now, or it's facebook.com/Monroe County Now. And our email address is monroecountynow@gmail.com. Thanks, everyone, for listening. I'm Laura.
And I'm Elizabeth. And we're with the National Organization for Women,
Monroe County Chapter.
And I would like to acknowledge our special guest in the studio. We have Juna here. Juna, would you like to say hello to the radio audience?
Hello.
You've been listening to Activate, a co-production of WFHB and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, working together to build an empowered, vibrant, and engaged community. You may visit bloomington.in.gov/volunteer to find and sign up for local volunteer opportunities. All episodes of Activate are available online at wfhb.org/news/activate. For Bloomington Community Radio, I'm Jennifer Brooks.
This has been the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Joe Crawford and Leah Carter. Our feature was produced by Wes Martin.
Activate is produced by Jennifer Brooks, along with the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network. Our engineer is Sarah Hetrick. Our theme music is provided by The Impossible Shapes. Executive producer is Joe Crawford. For WFHB, I'm Doug Storm.
And I'm Maria McKinley. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program. You can hear tonight's full broadcast, as well as all other WFHB news programming, online at WFHB.org.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. For more information about joining our volunteer team of citizen journalists, email news@wfhb.org.
If you use iTunes, you can have this show delivered directly to you. Just go to the iTunes store, search for WFHB Daily Local News, and subscribe to our podcast.
Stay tuned for Kiteline, coming up next on WFHB.
The Daily Local News is produced by a staff of over 50 volunteers
working in the WFHB News and Public Affairs Department.
Comments, suggestions, and story ideas
may be submitted directly to our news staff via email.
The address is news@wfhb.org.